In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We, of course, are acutely aware of the great significance of this feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The opportunity for us always is to consider how it should impact our lives, why the Church gives us these feasts. She gives them to us for a reason, to direct our minds to the ultimate end, the ultimate goal, to heaven. And so we see in the Blessed Virgin Mary's Assumption that this is what divine providence has for every single human being, even though every single human being will not accept it. That is, God wants humanity to be in eternity with Him. And Our Lady demonstrates what it looks like when you cooperate with grace. She demonstrates what it looks like when you live your life for Christ, through Christ, and in Christ. And she also underscores what it looks like to live a life in union with Christ. And so that is what we will consider this year for the Feast of the Assumption. The reality of union. Anyone who knows love knows that love seeks union. Our culture has lost sight of love because our culture has hypersexualized love. They don't really think about relationships other than that which involves hedonism. And so therefore they've lost capacity to love. And we see it in some of our young people who've lost the capacity to practice familial love and always think that they have to be outdating or outdoing something else with the opposite or nowadays with the same sex. All because there is an inadequate understanding of love. Most of our relationships are non-sexual. Most of our loves, therefore, are supposed to be that way. The conjugal union between husband and wife is profoundly unique and special. And therefore it is reserved. But it is not the universal expression of human love. Familial relationships are based on authentic love. Friendships are based on authentic love. So the problem now today for most people, including Catholics, is they don't seek union with Christ because they don't know what love is. No real sense of commitment, no real sense of investment. But those who know what love is recognize quickly this great dynamic that is beyond our comprehension between our Lord and His Mother, Mary Most Holy. Because their love as Son to Mother and Mother to Son is pure beyond our comprehension. It is not tinged with concupiscence, tinged with selfishness and neediness and a desire to have companionship. It's not weak and limited like that, but it does seek union. And union is a willful thing. That's the difference between men and women. And too many men think and act like women today, even in their concepts of love, so they don't get it. Women were made for communion. Not Holy Communion, but the idea of community. And this is a great strength God gave to women, which Satan hates, which is why Satan wants all women to be out of the house and doing the work and acting and dressing like men, because he hates the great power that God gave them that we see profoundly lived out of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Community is a whole different thing, but males seek union, because union is more willful. And union gives you something to fight for, something that you know is bigger and greater than you. Then you feel a part of that which is great. And so a man, for example, when he is in union in holy matrimony, seeks specifically to provide for the family, to die to himself, and to order and structure the whole reality around him. And if he's aware of his Catholic calling, he is to see his house as a Garden of Eden, that he is the pastor of the domestic church, and he is to make it like the Garden of Eden was supposed to be, a place where God is worshipped, a place that is beautiful, that is filled with growth, that is filled with life. And therefore, he seeks to do that. And it is something that's done most actively, not passively. And so union is something deeper than communion in the conventional human sense. But the reason we should concentrate on it is the reality that this union of Our Lady to our Lord, which obviously is perfect, and the fact that our Lord gets all of His humanity, all of His flesh from the Blessed Virgin Mary, but the fact that He is God and she is the Immaculate Conception, their love is most pure. And therefore, she is not seeking community with Him because she is refined. She is seeking union with Him. And therefore, it's not something that is needy. It is not something that is desperate. It is something that is necessary, which is why she would go when our Lord was nearby in Galilee and listen to Him, which is why she was there at the foot of the cross, union with Him. Never seeking for herself in that union, but seeking Christ. She is the archetype of Christianity. She is what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. She seeks union with Christ. Not Christ my spiritual buddy, Christ my friend. Christ is God, and she seeks union with God. And she knows what she needs for the sustenance of actual life. She doesn't need salvation. She is the Immaculate Conception. She has no original sin. But she needs God. And Jesus is God. Because she is so pure, then she understands what life is really about. Union with God. And therefore, when the Archangel Gabriel gives her the opportunity, she says yes immediately. Yes to God's will, because she wants union with Him. It is her union with Him and the fact that she is the Immaculate Conception that she is not afraid of the angel, as all these other men were when they saw angels. They would fall prostrate in front of them. And she recognized the language of the angel. She only asked questions. It was because she's Immaculate Conception to residents of heaven, as it were, which she realizes in the Assumption, communicating with each other in a most appropriate way. No fear, no doubt, like the priest Zechariah and his reaction to the Archangel Gabriel. And this whole reality of seeking union with Christ motivates her to courage, to strength, to conviction. And that's why she is fearless in going to the foot of the cross. And she sees nothing but the Christ. And there at the foot of the cross, she is in the best possible union that could be experienced in humanity because she is Immaculate Conception. But still, it is not the union that she has now in resurrected form in heaven. Because Our Lady would suffer not only at the foot of the cross, but after our Lord's ascension. Because she seeks union with Him and He goes to heaven. And He leaves her to do her work. And she first starts by bolstering and assisting the apostles. And then at Pentecost she is there. And then she ends up moving to Ephesus with St. John. And then she lives that quiet life. The life that the devil hates, that modern women bristle at. The life of making a home for St. John. Our Lady lived in obscurity and humility in Ephesus, demonstrating what it is to be in union with Christ. It is self-giving. It is self-offering. And it is humble. Doesn't seek material gain, doesn't seek money, like all the excuses the devil gives to convince women to divorce themselves from their families and then wonder why there's no sense of community in the family, because the family needs a woman to foster communion. Men foster union, women foster communion. But then the devil's also convinced them to give their children away to him through daycare, through public schools. Because in that respect, then the state is teaching the children. And the state teaches the children everything that is wrong, everything that is satanic, everything that is against union with God. Indeed, Our Lady demonstrates what it is to truly live in union with God. And therefore, when the time comes, when she knows that her mission is approaching, she goes back to Jerusalem. And there she goes into what the Church calls, the Fathers call, the Great Dormition. Death is when the soul leaves the body. And therefore, she's Immaculate Conception. She cannot know death as we know it, but she knows a form of it. Because even she gives service to death because Christ did. And he died in the most horrific way. And so when she goes to Jerusalem, tradition holds that the Holy Spirit got all of the living apostles, because James was already dead, one of the Jameses, except Thomas. And the apostles are there, and they weep over Our Lady, the mother of the Christ, and they were the very ones that would give her Holy Communion, which gave her a union with Christ you and I enjoyed, but was still not enough for her in her perfection, because her love for Christ is so great. So the point being that once she is in the Great Dormition and the tomb is closed, and days later Thomas shows up and wants to pay respects to her, they open the tomb and the Blessed Mother's body is gone. That's how they knew she was assumed into heaven. And she was obscure, so there's no reason to believe that someone would have come and stolen the body, as skeptics might suggest. But she was taken to heaven, and again, this is why the Magnificat is a great prayer, because she acknowledges she doesn't deserve it. She's a lowly handmaid. But she's taken to heaven as a reward for her goodness, so that Christ gives to her what she desires most, true union with Him, who is God. And she receives that because, as the woman cries out in the crowd, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you." And Jesus says in response to her, "No, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." He was speaking of his mother who did it most perfectly. And therefore, all generations will call me blessed. Protestants deny sacred scripture every time they question our respect for the Blessed Virgin Mary. But she's taken up into heaven because of that goodness, because of that perfection, because the Son loves the Mother and the Mother loves the Son. But notice she too would live that Christian life of self-sacrifice and not being taken to heaven immediately when our Lord went at the Ascension. She would remain, and she would be of service to the church, service to the apostles, then of service to St. John. Then she would move back to Jerusalem and go into the Great Dormition, the deep sleep, as it were. A life of total self-donation, total self-give, total self-offering. This is the secret to happiness, blessedness. And so ours then is to consider in our own lives, how do we ourselves imitate the Blessed Virgin Mary? Are you really, truly seeking union with God in your life? And this is what communion, Holy Communion, is all about. But ultimately, we cannot know what it is to be with the Christ outside of His sacramental presence until we, after the general judgment, if we are indeed cooperating with grace, will be taken to heaven when the new Jerusalem comes down and the earth has been destroyed by fire and reformed. And then we will see Christ as He is. We will see the Blessed Mother as He is. If we are to imitate Mary, this is the whole point of our Catholic lives, to be in total union with Christ, to be in eternity with Him, not in some nebulous notion, as too many ill-educated Catholics and Protestants say, where Uncle Fred is up in heaven playing golf. That's not seeking union with God, is it? If that was Fred's goal, Fred is rotting in hell, not playing golf in heaven. If golf was his God, God in His goodness will give to Uncle Fred the eternity he wants, golf. No, union with God is a deliberate thing. That's why it's different than communion, which can be more emotional. Union is more deliberate, more willful. You unite yourself to something. We unite ourselves to the Christ. We unite ourselves to the Victor. We unite ourselves to the Mighty One. We unite ourselves to Christ, and we know that we must, where it is appropriate and in accord with our vocations, combat evil, first within ourselves and in the world. And we are to give witness to the truth. We're all called to be martyrs, the Greek word for witnesses. If you have no desire for union with Christ, then the courageous life does not appeal to you. Sentimental love never fosters courage. It only fosters self-interest, and all you care about is yourself. If you doubt me, go to your average wedding and look at the bride and see how her love is sentimental because she's totally self-oriented, queen for a day. And everything has to be perfect for her, the pictures, the videos, and she will scream at her groom because things aren't working out. And she claims to be in love with that man. She is in love with herself. That's no courage. That's cowardice. That's what weak human love gives you because of our fallen state. No, seek union with the Christ, who is God. Therefore, Deus caritas est. God is love. And your love must be of God, especially those of you in the sacrament of holy matrimony. Your love must be of God and not of man. And it must look like the love that is seen by Christ and his church. And the archetype of the church is the Blessed Virgin Mary. And she shows us the way. And she who is the mediatrix of all graces, even directs graces our way. So that we can have the wherewithal and the illumination to seek union with God, union with Christ above all else. It's a point of the Catholic life, despite all of the opposing messages and even the opposing forces, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the need for getting along in the world and material things and entertainment and hedonism and your own doubts and fears and anxieties. All these things are there to blind you from what God is calling you to, true union with Him. Look to Our Lady. Recognize she is in heaven for a reason, just as the Christ Himself. She is showing us what can be accomplished if we do whatever Jesus tells us, as she said at the wedding feast of Cana. Do, not simply passively sit and watch. Do. Let us be mindful of her seeking union with her Son and how she is indeed given that union. And that is what you and I should be seeking every single moment of the day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.